Amen. Thank you, ladies. Aren't you glad God hears and answers our prayer? Huh? We have a God that's not afar off. His ear is always open to our cry. When we call, He hears and He answers. John chapter 15 in our Bibles this morning. John chapter number 15. We are looking at this chapter again. Last week we began this chapter in our study here. We've been going through the Gospel of John. And last week we looked at John 15 and the first number of verses in a message that we entitled, Why Abide? In John 15, Jesus gives us a key, or the key, to our Christian life. And He says to His disciples, abide in Me and I in you, and you'll bear fruit. And so we looked at this section and we gave you some reasons why it is important for us to abide in the vine. Matter of fact, let's look at verse number 1. I am the true vine, My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, John 15:4. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so Jesus paints a picture here for His disciples concerning a branch that would abide in the vine. Last week we looked at how important it is. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and we are to stay connected to Him. The idea of abiding has to do with remaining close to, or in union with, or in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You remember we said last week, we said that one of the reasons why it is important for us to abide in Him is because abiding gives your life power. When you got saved because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, a person is not saved without coming to Christ, recognizing that they're a sinner, recognizing that He's holy, recognizing that heaven is perfect and that I'm not. And the only way for a person to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And I need His forgiveness. I need His righteousness placed on my account. And thereby I'm able to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. And so if a person is to be saved, they must place their faith and trust in Jesus. You cannot be saved without Jesus, right? And so our life has power when we recognize that abiding in Him is what gives power. And we recognize that a person can't be saved without Jesus. But secondly, we looked at this. A person cannot live the Christian life without Jesus. You see, the awesome thing about being a Christian is this. It isn't just that God says, hey, I'm going to bring you to heaven, figure it out on your own. No, the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says in Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in. And God indwells every believer. And He indwells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He enables us to live the Christian life. Now, we look at our text. Jesus refers to a branch and a vine. And Jesus says that branch, unless that branch is connected to that vine, that branch isn't going to bear fruit. And the reality is, He's using that illustration to tell us, as God's people, to stay connected to, or to abide in Him, to draw life from Him. And do you know God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, will live the Christian life through you if you will let Him? And we looked last week, at not only does abiding life give us power, but abiding in Him gives our life purpose. And we looked at some aspects of this, of the blessing of bearing fruit. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, in the context of John 15, reproducing other Christians. The fruit of having Christ abiding in Him and us, Him abiding in us. Verse number 7, we looked at, and we'll look at this again, the blessing of answered prayer. When I abide in Him, when I live in union with Him. Do you know sometimes even as a Christian, it's possible for us to be out of fellowship with God. Maybe that's what we need to focus on for a minute, our fellowship with God. Abiding has to do with that fellowship with Him, that He might live the Christian life through us. And we see the blessing of answered prayer. Verse number 11, we see the blessing, or we saw the blessing of that your joy might be full. You know, a lot of Christians are walking around discouraged and defeated and negative. We don't have to be negative. We're on the winning side. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And if I'll stay connected and stay in fellowship with God, boy, He'll give me that fullness of joy. And then we said, number four, the blessing of victory in our Christian life. You know, the Holy Spirit of God knows how to live the Christian life. And if we allow Christ to live the Christian life through us, we'll experience victory in our lives. Now, that was last week's message in about 2 or 3 minutes, all right? Why abide? I want to look at today, you say, okay, that's great. In my life, I want the fullness of joy. I want to see people saved. I want to make an impact for others. I want to have my prayers answered. I want all of these things in my life. Then we have to ask ourselves this question. How does this work? How does abiding in Him work? Now, let me just say this from the beginning. It is way simpler than you think. You know, when you play sports, I played sports in high school, played soccer, and played some basketball, though I was really not too good in that. And whenever you play, they always start off practice, and they start off practice with the fundamentals. They start off practice with the basics, and you're passing the ball, and you're shooting free throws. And I think professional basketball players should always make their free throws. I'm just saying, they're professionals. I think field goal kickers should always, you know, within reason. You know, if they're attempting a 69-yard field goal, all right, I get that. But within reason, they ought to pretty much make them. That's what they get paid to do, right? The basics sometimes are very important. And when we look at this matter of abiding in Him, you're not going to learn anything new today. What we're going to do is help us to remember how the basics of abiding in Him work. We're talking about having a close relationship with the Lord. We're talking about that union, that fellowship. So I want to give you four choices that you have to make this morning if you're going to abide in Him. Four very basic choices, and some of them are going to go, oh, really? Yeah, really. Number one, abiding in Him involves my hearing. It involves my hearing. I must make a choice regarding the Word of God. Now look at our text. We're going to verse number 3. The Bible says this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Look at verse number 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. We're looking at the importance of the Word of God. Why is it that we have to spend time trying to convince God's people, people that are saved, people that are on their way to heaven, why is it that we have to convince people that they've got to spend time in the Word of God? I venture today, if I took a poll and asked how many of you spent time in the Word of God 5 minutes all week, at least 5 minutes a day for 7 days, I venture to say that we would be surprised with how many, even in our conservative Baptist church here, skipped a couple days. We can't afford to not spend time in the Word of God. And it is so basic, but Jesus says this, if my words abide in you, He speaks to us through the Word of God. There are many aspects of the Word of God. The Bible says here in verse 3, it brings cleansing. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? The Word of God. It is the Word of God that builds faith in our lives. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How is it does God speak to me? He speaks to me through the Word of God. How will I know the will of God? He speaks to me through the Word of God. Faith is exercised when I know and believe the Word of God. That's why Paul told the church there at Colossae to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of God is absolutely vital in the life of a Christian. The Bible says in Psalm 119:98, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, it is the Word of God that gives me direction. It is the Word of God that gives me cleansing. It is the Word of God that gives me stability in my life. You see, there's a lot of uncertainty in 2021, and there is a lot of uncertainty, and there always will be uncertainty in the day and age in which we live. But the Bible says in Psalm 1, He, the one that delights in the law of the Lord, shall be planted, but shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What do we see? That stability. A tree that would be planted, and when the winds blow, that tree is stable. And when the winds blow, we as God's people can be stable if we understand the importance of spending time in the Word of God. Joshua 1, verse 9, Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But I don't think there's anybody here this morning that would doubt what I said. I don't think there's anybody this morning that would say, I don't agree that the Bible gives stability. I don't think anybody would. I don't think anybody would disagree that, hey, the Bible gives cleansing and the Bible gives direction in my life. We'd all agree with that. Here's the key. The key is this. What do you decide to do on a daily basis with what you know? You see, abiding, if Jesus commanded them to abide in me, abiding has to do with you and I making a choice to get into the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly. You see, we know the truth. We tell other people. You're reading your Bible, maybe. But how much time this week did you spend in the Word of God? You see, if I'm going to have fullness of joy, and I'm listening to the news an hour a day and not spending any time in the Word of God, I'm sorry, you're not going to have it. You see, if I want to bear fruit and see people saved in my life to make a difference in other people, I've got to get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to me. And then what? It overflows from me into the lives of other people. But it really boils down to a choice that individual Christians have to make. Nobody can read the Bible for you. Now, you can listen to the Bible. I think it's important, by the way, to listen to the Word of God. We have so much technology at our fingertips. You can push a few buttons and the Word of God will be playing. Listen to the King James Version of the Bible. It will be playing in your ears. And I think that's tremendous. The Word of God is key to abiding. You didn't learn anything new. It's just about saying, I have to make that choice. If you're here this morning and you say, I missed a few days last week, you need to make a choice at the end of the service to say, I'm going to spend time in God's Word every day. It's that basic, whether it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Maybe you're having burgers and fries in the morning. You say, huh? I'm talking about like fast food. You know, you're spending time in the Word of God, but it's like 3 or 4 minutes. Can I encourage you to make this decision? Lord, I got to move to maybe a steak and potato. I'm going to give you 15 minutes. You say, what does that involve? Or 20 minutes. What does that involve? It involves me saying, this is a priority in my life. This is a priority in my life. And I can do more than just 5 minutes. I can make the decision to make 15 or 20 minutes or whatever it might be. A decision, and nothing new, abide, and it connects us with the Word of God. I want you to see, secondly, there's a second choice that we need to make. And it's a choice concerning not just our hearing, but concerning our talking. And I'm not talking about talking to one another. I'm talking about talking to the Lord. It's a choice concerning prayer. Look at verse number 7. If my words abide, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The Scripture says often we have not. Why? Because we ask not. You see, we know this. We learned this when we were in grade school. If you grew up in a Christian home, you grew up in a church. Scripture, God speaks to me. Prayer, I speak to Him. But again, I'm amazed at how many of God's people spend very little time communicating to God in prayer. I was at a junior camp years and years ago. I went there. I was there with another preacher, and we had to share a cabin together. And I'm thankful for parents that in my home grew up, and they taught me how to spend time with God every day. And so as a youngster, I had a habit of spending time with the Lord. Whether I was right with God or not, I got up and read my Bible and spent time in prayer. And I don't take any credit for this, but I was with this veteran. He was a seasoned pastor, and he had pastored for a long time. I was just a youth pastor at the time, and we shared a little cabin. And when we woke up in the morning, I got up and I went outside, and I sat at a table, and I read my Bible, and I spent some time in prayer with the Lord. And when I was finished later that day, he pulled me aside, and he said this. He said, "I'm very glad to see that you spent time in the Word of God this morning and spent time in prayer." He said, you wouldn't believe how many preachers over the years that he had in his little cabin," and I didn't know that he was a spy of the Lord. He said, "I, you know how many that they just went about their day and didn't spend time in the Word and didn't spend time in prayer. Is there something you need in your life? Say, man, I have needs. Boy, I have some deep concerns. I have some burdens, things that weigh me down. You have not because you ask not. But we ask sometimes amiss. You know, we ask, Lord, help me to help $1 million to fall out of the sky so I can help everybody. Yeah. And I can live in Hawaii for the rest of my life where it's warm. We ask amiss sometimes. But I tell you this, it's sad when we have not because we ask not. God wants to hear from us. God wants us to speak to Him. The psalmist said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me, delivered me." This poor man cried, Psalm 34, "and the Lord heard him." I'm amazed at the length that some people go when it comes to trying to read the Word of God and spending time in prayer. We often make up excuses. Well, this fellow by the name of William McPherson, he had a good excuse. He was the superintendent of a stone quarry, and a blast severely injured him. He lost his eyesight and both hands in the explosion. He was determined, though, to read the Bible. And he learned to read raised letters with the tip of his tongue. It is said that he read the Bible through four times, the whole Bible through four times in this manner. Think about that. Think about the attitude sometimes that we have as Christians when it comes to reading the Word of God, when it comes to spending time in prayer. We're just talking about the basics. How much time do you spend in prayer this week? How much time have you spent communicating and talking to the Lord, not just about the burdens that you bear and the burdens you bear in your own home, but beyond as we look at our church family and the needs that are around us? We have the privilege to go straight to the top, to the one who moves and rules this whole world, and He hears and He answers our prayers. What a privilege. I need to make a choice regarding my talking. Number three, and again, these are all basic. I need to make a choice regarding my trusting, my dependence. Look at verse 4 and 5. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." All right, you cannot bear fruit unless Jesus does it through you. All right? The sooner we get it in our minds and hearts that I can't do it, but He can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My dependence is on Him. All right? Look at verse number 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You know what our problem is sometimes? Our problem is we're trying to do the work of God in the power of the flesh. Let's just look at this matter of telling people about Jesus. It's a matter of talking to people. What do we do right out of the gate? Pastor says, hey, we're having outreach Sunday next week, and we think, I might be sick. I don't think I can come. Right? We immediately start thinking, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know. And then we've kind of fear ourselves out of it. But then we get there and we think, give me an easy thing. Can you give me all the lists of the people that aren't going to be home? When I first started going out, I was scared to death to tell people about the Lord. And I told my partner, I'm not saying anything. And I didn't say anything. And sometimes you see, okay, you let me know when you want to take a door. Now, what you need to do is, it's every other door is what you should do. You say, I'm going to knock on this one, you knock on this one, you knock on this one, you knock on this one. But my partner said to me, let me know when you wanted to take a door. That was easy, man. I get a little bit, nobody's home here. I got this door, knock on the door. You know, there's no lights on, and you knock on the door, oh, nobody's home. All right, well, you get the next door, you know. We kind of psych ourselves out. Do you know it is not your job to lead people to Christ? It is your job to be a witness, and the Christ that lives in you will lead them to Christ. You see, it's about our dependence. Who are we depending on? Who are we trusting? The Apostle Paul said this in the church at Corinth. He had a weakness. And he said, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. It is his strength that is made perfect in our weakness. We've got to depend upon him. We've got to trust in him. When Gypsy Smith got saved, an elderly gentleman explained to him the importance of trusting Christ alone. Gypsy Smith replied, I cannot trust myself, for I am nothing. And I cannot trust in what I have, for I have nothing. And I cannot trust in what I know, for I know nothing. The only thing left for him to trust in was Jesus. Spurgeon said this concerning our faith. If our faith be worth anything, it will stand the test. Gold is afraid of fire, but gold is not. The paste gem dreads to be touched by the diamond, but the true jewel fears no test. It is a poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true, the body of full health, and the business profitable. But that is true faith which holds by the Lord's faithfulness when friends are gone, when the body is sick, when spirits are depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. A faith which can say in the direst trouble, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, is heaven-born faith. Our dependence has to be in him. God, I cannot do this without you. I need thee every hour, the songwriter said. Most gracious Lord, we need him. Our dependence, our trust is in him to do the work. And then number four, lastly, I want you to see this. And again, this is so basic. I need to make a decision concerning my obedience. Concerning obeying. Look at verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You see, staying connected to him, a close relationship with Jesus, it's about me getting in the Word of God. It's about me talking to him. It's about me believing what he says. When the Bible says to do this, I believe what the Bible says. I'm standing on the promises of God. But it also comes to fruition when I recognize the importance of doing what he wants me to do. When I recognize the importance of obeying his will. Disobedience results in what? It results in a broken fellowship. Obedience is you ever know the song here? Obedience is the very best way. Any of you hear that song? To show that you believe. Right? We talk to our kids when they're little, right? Doing it happily, what the Lord commands, doing it happily, whatever. Anyway, my age is telling on me here, but O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. What a wonderful song. We should learn it. Maybe we should sing it in church sometime. You can do the motions. In any event, obedience is absolutely vital. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 7, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways which I commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Often, our challenge is not in what we know, but it's in what we do. If I was to ask this whole group again this morning, if I was to ask how many of you would love to have the privilege to sit down and tell someone how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven and have them pray and trust Christ as Savior, it is the greatest joy in all the world is to tell people that Jesus loves them and that Jesus saves and that they can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven. I don't doubt that everybody in this room, everyone would say, I'd love to have that privilege, preacher. Do you know what? You'll never have that privilege until you obey. You'll never have that privilege until you go. And ye are witnesses of these things. We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. Do you know what? You'll never have that privilege of bearing fruit, which is really the fruit in the context of John 15. I think we can go broader with Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But really, in the context of this, we're looking at multiplication. We're looking at reduplication. And I tell you, the greatest privilege in all the world is for you and I to lead people to Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, that's going to be what really matters, is declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who, and there are Christians that have lived 20, 30, 40 years knowing they're on their way to heaven and will leave this planet having never led anybody to Jesus Christ. And the issue is not with the vine. The issue is with us staying connected to the vine. And it really boils down to this last factor when it comes to this matter of obedience, of doing what I know God wants me to do. When I spend time with Him, He communicates, He gives me a promise. Let's look at the matter of tithing. You get in the Word of God, you go, God wants me to tithe. Can I trust God to meet that need? That's faith. I spend time with Him, I talk to Him, I'm in the Word, I'm in prayer, He gives me a promise. I say, this is God's promise, I can believe it. But that promise then must be acted upon as I obey when I know what God wants me to do. I wonder, and I'm not saying that you're a heathen. Okay, I'm not saying you're a heathen if you don't have this. But I wonder how many of you have tracks in your purse, in your wallet, in your jacket. You say, why? Well, this is Sunday. Yeah, I know, but sometimes my wife will say, hey, can you stop and get something? Any of your wives like that? Can you stop and get something, you know, at the store? If I'm not intentional about my obedience, you see, we've got to recognize that sometimes it's just pure, basic obedience. I read about a licensed pilot who was flying his private plane in a cloudy day. He was not very experienced in instrument landing. When the control tower was to bring him in, he began to get panicky, sometimes like we do. Then he heard a stern voice come over the radio. You just obey instructions and we'll take care of the obstructions. I thought, that's good. If we'll obey God's instructions, God will take care of the obstructions. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a minute. But I thought I would do something from 2 years ago that might be a help to you. And I want to show you, if we could dim the lights here real quick, before we end in prayer and give you an opportunity to talk to the Lord. I want to show you a tool. One of the things that I, over the years, have tried to ask preachers when I would meet with them one-on-one for lunch or whatever, how do you walk with God? How do you practically walk with God? And I showed you this. Pastor Drew and I put together a notebook a couple of years ago, and I thought, well, we're in John 15. Maybe we'll use this, advertise this tool again. It's called Abiding in Christ. And I'm going to go through it with you real quick in about 5 minutes. He has 3 copies. I'll leave this one here if you'd like to look at it. We only charged for the cost of what it took to put it together. I think sometimes we want to be in close fellowship and we want to And sometimes we are a little bit unsure, how does this all work? This is a very practical tool. And so, if I can get this thing, there we go. So here's the little outline. A-B-I-D-I-N-G, right? Abiding. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask God to speak to you. Lord, would you speak to me? Would you show me? Would you speak to my heart today? Then we're going to give you some truths to remind yourself concerning God. And I review these truths pretty much on a daily basis, the truths that are in the Abide book, truths about God. And this is a crammed version. You can look at the notebook. God is always with us. God's peace is ours. And some truths about God, some truths about yourself. You know, the devil wants you to believe lies about yourself. You know that? Hey, you're complete in Him. You have Christ's power and authority. You're holy and blameless. I mean, just tremendous truths from the Word of God. And then some truths about the devil, your adversary, the devil. And I look at these sometimes and recognize I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, third section, and you can go through this rather quickly, but it enables you, I think, to be reminded of truths that you need when it comes to your Word of God. Number three, I try to ask myself some questions about my own life. You know, I used to say, Lord, would you show me if there's any sin? I still do that, but I find myself now asking some questions concerning specific sins and things that might be, is there bitterness, a critical spirit, a dishonesty? Then we have section four, which is really just a section that you just spend time in the Word of God. I go through the Bible in a year, and so I'll look at these sections, Genesis and Matthew, through the Bible. You don't need to do that necessarily, but you need to have some kind of organized scripture that will help you in getting the mind of the Lord. And then we've got the idea of interceding, which is a prayer list, and there's some pages in there for you to make a prayer list. I think you'll have a lot more. I think God answers a lot more of your prayers than you realize. You just forget that you prayed them. George Mueller, it was said, he saw 50,000 answers to prayer on the day of asking. Well, the only way that someone could say that about him is that he kept a log. And then a place where you can take notes. What did God teach me? Some specific prayer requests concerning yourself. And then the idea of giving God praise. And really it's the idea of taking home or taking with you what God gave you. Now, I know I went through that very quickly. We went through it last time more at length. There is a notebook down here if it'll help you. I think tools in our day and age are tremendous things. But I tell you this, you can put the lights back on. I tell you this, a tool won't help you if you don't make the decision to see it as a priority. I mean, that's the reality. The reality is what Jesus is talking about, this idea of abiding, is a lot simpler than we think. Staying connected and staying close to Him. If I was to ask you before we even had the message, how do you stay close to the Lord? You'd go, well, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, right? You got two already. The aspect of, well, you got to trust Him, and you've got to obey Him. I mean, this is basic. We are as close to God as we want to be. James says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. Is your life lacking fullness of joy? Is your life lacking fruit that remains? Are you seeing prayers answered? Hey, these are the results of abiding in Him. If you're not, it might be time to say, all right, where does my life lack when it comes to my practically abiding in Him? Let me say this. I'm going to be very strong with this statement because I believe it at the core of my being. If this was a normal week for you, now I know moms are up in the middle of the night. I get it. But here's, I'll make it real clear. If this was a normal week for you, you weren't up in the middle of the night sick or whatever, if this was a normal week for you and you missed a couple of days in the Word of God, you need to get down here and you need to say, God, this week's going to be different. I can't live without you, Lord. And what we do practically is we say, we wouldn't say it this way, but it's like we're saying, well, today I'm covered. I got you today, God. I don't need. We wouldn't say it like that. But the reality is, we need Him every hour. And this matter of getting in His Word, this matter of abiding in Him is absolutely vital. If we're going to be what God wants us to be as a church, we have got to be, as members, connected to the vine, our power source. Lord, I ask that You would